Amazing, amazing week. Well, good morning. How are you today? Are you excited to be here in the house of the Lord? Make some noise if you're excited to be here. Yeah, I'm excited. My name's Quinn. I'm the children's and youth pastor here at Life Church. I'll get to in a few minutes why I'm dressed so goofy. But I'm excited to be here this morning. I just want to take a second and say welcome home if it's your first time. I want to take a second. I want to say thank you to Pastor Michael. Can we just give it up to Pastor Michael for being an amazing senior pastor? Now, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, you may think I'm more than just the children's or youth pastor. That's not true. I'm excited to get the opportunity to preach again 2 weeks in a row. It's amazing. Pastor's not here, but he's on a plane right now, but he has faith in me. And it takes a lot to trust your pulpit with a goofy, crazy youth pastor who might say something dumb. So thank you, Pastor Michael, for trusting me, for having some faith that nothing crazy is going to come out my mouth today. If you were here with us last week, who was here last week? We talked about that. Awesome, most of you. We talked about faith and doubt, and when doubt comes, if doubt comes, looking back to spring forward, looking in our Bible, getting in our Word. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. We talked about having faith. We talked about sharing your testimony. Doubting Thomas, he looked at the scars in Jesus' hands and those. And we all have scars, and our scars are going to help people meet Jesus. That's what I like to call a faith step. I call it something that's going to grow us closer to God, reading our Bibles and sharing our testimony. We're going to talk about another one this morning called serving. So turn to your neighbor and say, you should serve. You should serve. Let's pray, then we'll talk about that. Dear Jesus, God, I thank you so much for what you've already done today, for what you're doing, for what you will do. I pray for Pastor Michael that you just bless him and Pastor Rashawn at the conference and just help them to get there safely, God. We pray for everyone sick and not feeling well, that you bring healing, God. And we pray for this message, that your people would learn from you, not from me, but from you, and learn about you, and that we would leave here more like you, that we'd want to get plugged in, we would want to get connected, and that we would want our lives to look like your life, Jesus. So we love you, we thank you, we ask all this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Well, if you didn't know, by all those tables out there in the lobby, it is Join the Team Sunday. Well, yeah, you can cheer for that. We do this every few months around here. And what that means is, as soon as you get done here, we're going to do a short message today. Some people are like, yeah, praise God. We're going to do a little bit shorter today. We're going to get you out there to get some donuts and some coffee. And then we're going to give you time to walk around and check out the different tables and just see what God's doing in our church. And we want you to be a part of that. We don't want you to miss out on that. So if you're not serving anywhere, we have some pictures of some of the tables out there. We got our MOPS ministry and some other ministries. If you're not serving anywhere, my hope and prayer is that you would get connected, you would get plugged in, and that you would serve, because God wants you to serve, and it's going to grow you closer to him. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But if you are already serving, please don't zone out from this message, because God's got something to say to you too. If you're leading somewhere, God wants you to be a better servant. And I want to talk for a second. The reason I'm dressed like this is because I got with my leadership team at Next Youth Ministry. Meet Sundays at 6:30. We'd love to have you come check us out. Just a quick plug. I got with them and I said, how do you want to decorate our booth for Join the Team? And they said, how about camping? I'm like, can I light a fire in the lobby? And they're like, no, Pastor Quinn, you can't. Okay, we can't do camping then, because if I can't light a fire, it can't go big, then I'm going home. I said, what can we do? And they said, how about tacky tourists? Because we're going to do a lot of cool stuff this summer. It's going to be fun. Tacky summer. You're kind of tacky, Pastor Quinn. And instead of getting offended, I said, you're absolutely right. I can do tacky. I've been doing tacky my whole life. Just ask my wife. I came out tacky, right? Like, that booth, I decorated it myself. You might think it's good. No, it's only because the theme was tacky. Don't ask me to decorate your house unless you want me to come over with $20 worth of stuff from the dollar store. That's how I decorate. So that's what you get today. Come check out the youth ministry booth and see all me and all my tackiness and amazingness. Well, hey, if you've been with us the last few weeks, if you were with us for Easter, who was with us for Easter? Was that amazing or what? We got to bless almost 1,000 people. We did 4,000 Easter eggs. 29 people raised their hands, said, I'm going to give my life to Christ. Pastor preached on coming out of the cave. Jesus came out of his cave. He wants you to come out of yours. It was an amazing message. Before that, the week before that, Pastor talked on Palm Sunday and the triumphant entry of Jesus. He came into town for Passover. People were praising him. He talked about worshiping King Jesus. If you missed any of these messages, you can go to our website, life-church.co, and you can listen to all these messages we record every Sunday. And then last week I got to talk about doubt. And so what I want to do today is obviously we're going to talk about serving, but I want to talk about a few other things. I want to talk about what worship looks like and what worship means as well. So we're actually going to go back and we'll say, go back, go back. We're going to go back, excuse me. And we're going to talk about what happened the last few days of Jesus' life. Some of the last things he said, because we talked about the entry, and then we skipped to Easter and talked about the death and resurrection. But I want to go back this week and talk about the last few days of Jesus' life. What he did on earth with his last few days and his last few words was pretty amazing. He didn't hang out and play Fortnite. He didn't go eat pizza. Right? He didn't stay in bed or go rock climbing. He chose to have dinner with his friends and teach some very important lessons. So we're going to jump in today to Luke 22. We're going to be all over the Gospels. We're going to start in Luke 22, verse 7. Now the festival of the unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it, they asked. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him at the house he enters. Say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare the meal. So Jesus had his triumphal entry. Everyone was praising him, screaming Hosanna, throwing palm trees at him and coconuts. Probably weren't throwing coconuts. Palm branches, not trees either. Sometimes I just say things. But Jesus is coming into town, and the reason they were there in the first place is this thing called Passover. And so what happened in the book of Exodus, second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, God used this jacked up dude named Moses to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt, to lead the Israelites. I mean, Moses had a stutter. He killed someone. He fled his town for years. I mean, this was a jacked up, imperfect person that God used. Do you see where I'm going with this? God uses jacked up, messed up, imperfect people. God wants to use you today. He wants to use you this morning. He wants to use you this week. God used Moses to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt. He parted the Red Sea, and he sent down the crazy plagues. And one of the things he did was he allowed the angel of death to come in and kill certain boys in certain households. And God told Moses, he's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to preach a message to the people that says, kill a lamb, take the lamb's blood, and smear it over the door. The Bible's exciting. If you tell me it's not, you're wrong. The Bible's exciting. It's pretty crazy. Kill a lamb, take some blood. A little disgusting, but it's pretty cool. Smear it over the doorways, and when the angel of death comes, it's going to pass over the house with the blood over the doorways, showing that these are my people. I listen to God. I obey him. And so that actually happened, true story, and the Jewish people hundreds of years later still celebrate Passover. And so Jesus is coming into town with his dudes to celebrate Passover, and then let's finish the passage. They went off, verse 13, they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. So Jesus comes into the city with his friends, and they think it's just going to be a normal, average, everyday Passover, just another Passover meal. We've had these with Jesus before. What they didn't know is that this was going to be the last one until they got to heaven someday, until we can celebrate and eat and drink with Jesus again. This was the last one, and there was something special about this one. We call it the Last Supper. So today we're going to walk through the Last Supper and some of the last things Jesus decided to do and say with his time. And so Jesus, being Jesus, he's like, I'm gonna take this opportunity to not just have a meal. I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to show him something. He said to him, you're going to learn today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to learn today. All right, let's pick up John 13, verse 1. Woo, I'm excited. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Darren, can you come up, help me out? He came to Simon, who said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now, Simon, he was a little messed up. He was a fisherman with a bad mouth, and he just kind of did and said whatever he wanted. So he said, God, you're not going to wash my feet. Like, that's weird, Jesus. I'm not letting you wash my feet. He probably talked to Jesus that way. And Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, But later you will understand. No, you shall never wash my feet. He just told God, no, my gosh. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then wash everything, Jesus. Scrum it down. Right? Just wash it all. And he goes, just, do you want me to just do it, Jesus? Wash everything. And Jesus, no. Those who've had a bath need only wash their feet. You know, I bet Jesus is super calm and, you know, just not raising his temper at all. He's not thrown off by Simon and his craziness. Those who had a bath need only wash their feet. The whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Then when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And so in today's society, if you came over to my house for pizza and I started washing your feet, you probably wouldn't come back, right? My wife loves when I wash her feet, but if I wash anyone else's feet, they're like, no, she actually said, can you put me in the illustration today? Like, I could go for a little foot wash, Quinn, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, sorry, baby. He's not really getting a foot wash, and I'm just going to dump water. I'm going to tickle him a little bit. You ready? Excited? Me too. And today's society, and today's society, that's totally weird, right? When someone comes to your house, you say, can I get you a drink, right? Would you like anything to eat? Do you need anything? You may take your shoes off, you may not, depending on what their house looks like. My house, we have wood floors, beautiful hardwood floors, so you don't have to take your shoes off. You just keep them on. But in that society, it was normal that when someone came over, you would ask them, can I wash your feet? And here's why. Because they walked around all day in the desert, in the dust, in the sand. Their feet were nasty. They were dirty. They walked behind camels and donkeys, so their feet were probably covered in camel poo. So when you came to my house back in the day and you had camel poo feet, it's a respect for both parties. It's, hey, I care about you. Let me wash your feet. Hey, you care about my house. I don't want that crap in my house, literally, so I'm going to wash your feet, right? That's just what it is. And so it was totally normal. Someone would come over, you would offer to wash their feet. But it was normal for a servant or a child, a low member of the house, to come and do the foot washing. What Jesus does is pretty extraordinary, pretty weird. He does something wild, this leadership lesson. He gets up from the table. He ties a cloth around his waist, and he actually starts washing their feet himself. Totally out of the normal. The rabbi, the king, the head of the house, the guy over all the disciples, gets down, does something very humble, and he starts washing their feet. This is my friend Darren. You guys may have seen him sing a song. They did an amazing offering, tithe and offering verse, and he sang a song, and he's the worship leader at Next. Again, Next meets Sunday, 6:30. You should come check it out. Darren was an intern under me for a while, and I really love Darren. I've seen him grow a lot, and I think he respects me and looks up to me, kind of like the disciples to Jesus. So kind of like my disciple, I'm going to take some water, and I'm going to wash your feet. Is that cool? I'll just do a little foot washing. He's praying that I don't. Is it warm? Too warm? Too hot? Ooh, I just got a little mess there. That's okay. James will forgive me. And we'll wash your feet a little bit. So just take some water, and he poured it on the feet. And Jesus does this to his disciples, and he starts washing them. He's got to have a conversation with Simon Peter because he thinks he knows everything. And Jesus got, no, you don't know everything, Simon. You don't need your whole body washed, just your feet. And he starts washing them. Are you ticklish, bro?
No.
Goochie, 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 goo.
No.
Goochie, goochie, goo.
No.
All right, I'll stop. Hey. And so, here, let me see your feet, bro. And so Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and then he probably dries them off. He takes the towel from around his waist. Thanks, bro. You finished that for me? I appreciate it. And then he gets up and he says this. He goes back to the table. And he says, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, no messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus gets down on his knees and he does this very humble thing that masters didn't do. And he washes disciples' feet, and he's telling us to go wash others' feet. Now, he's not actually saying take off shoes and start washing the feet of the people next to you. That's weird. But what he's saying is how's your serving life? Are you serving the people next to you. I'm the boss. I'm the leader. I'm the master, and I'm serving my people. My hope for today is that those of you who aren't serving get something out of this, that yes, I should be serving. It's God's will for my life. It's an act of worship. It's what God wants. It's going to help me get closer to Jesus. But I don't want to write off all those of you who are already serving, or maybe those of you who are leading. Because if you're already serving, God wants you to step up and be a leader. And if you're leading, well, then let me ask you, how is your serving? Because they go together. If you're serving, leading, serving, maybe let's apply this to life, not just signing up for a ministry on a Sunday morning. Maybe you're a parent who prays for your children, but they don't want to come to church. They will not come to church, and you're praying, and you're, God, why aren't you hearing? And you're praying, and you go home, and they yell, you yell back. And so let me ask you, how are you serving them? Well, they don't deserve it, Pastor Quinn. You don't understand. Did we deserve to be served when Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Right? How are you serving your children that you're praying for? Maybe your spouse. You're praying for your spouse because you're in church alone. How are you serving them? Well, they don't deserve. You don't understand what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. Christ, we love because Christ first loved us. We serve because he first served us. How is your serving? Are you serving those people around you? He said, no one is greater. No servant is greater than the master. No master greater than the servant. This join the team day, it's important to get plugged into a church. But how are you I want to ask you this. How are you serving with your life? Is your life a life of servanthood? Are you serving your boss, even if they're not a good boss? Are you serving your spouse, your children, your coworkers, those people around you, those people under you? Because last week we learned we should get in our Bible and we should go tell people about Jesus. But guess what? They're not going to care what we have to say until they know how much we care. Jesus was saying that. Theodore Roosevelt said it, but Jesus pretty much said it first. It goes like this. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. You're telling people about Jesus. That's awesome. You're showing them your scars, but maybe you're being a jerk. Maybe you're being a little rude. Maybe you're not practicing what you're preaching. Tell people, show your scars, share your testimony, but serve people. Love them. That's how you're going to get them here, by loving them, not by screaming at them. You know why you don't see that many preachers screaming from the rooftops and from the sidewalks anymore? It's because it doesn't work. Because people will know they care about what you know when they know how much you care. When you go into their home, when you love on them, when you spend time with them, when you do nice things for them, when you're washing others' feet, that's what's going to bring people to Jesus. So yes, share your testimony, share your scars. But how's your serving? Darren, you did a great job. Thanks, bro. You guys could give it up for Darren. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 20. He said, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Even Jesus' purpose here on earth was to love God. He prayed, he read the scripture, and to love other people. That's our purpose as well. That's why we were created here on earth and not up in heaven, just hanging out with the angels, looking at our cool socks. We were created here to love God and love other people. How do you love other people? By serving them. That's how we love. That was Jesus' purpose. That's our purpose as well. Serving is more than just an act of kindness. It's an act of worship. I don't know if you've ever heard this before or not, but I heard this a few years ago and it just resonated with me. Serving is an act of worship. Jesus spent some of his last days with his friends serving, then worshiping with them. We'll look at a few other acts of worship in just a minute, but just like reading your Bible, just like praying, like singing songs, raising your hand, tithing, it's an act of worship. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you want to be closer to God? That's why you're here, right? Most of you, some of you may have got dragged here and we're praying for you, but most of you are here because you want to be more like Jesus. And so we need to get in his word. We need to pray. We need to trust him. And we need to have these faith steps. We need to start worshiping him with our lives. What does that look like? That looks like tithing. That looks like using your gift, going out and joining a team, serving. It looks like praying, reading the Bible. How is your worship? Serving is an act of worship. Serving pleases the Father and draws us closer to him. you may think serving's just for those people, right? Like if I serve in Kids Life, I'm benefiting the children. They're benefiting from me. I'm benefiting Pastor Quinn because he doesn't have to go over there every week. He can come in here and love on the adults. And so that's what I'm doing by serving in Kids Life, just benefiting the kids. And you're partially right. It does benefit the church and it does benefit the kids, but it's more important for you. You may not know that. I'll come back to that. But it's more important for you. Jesus calls us to serve. He calls us to worship him with our lives. And then he goes back to dinner and he does this. Luke 22, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat the meal again until the meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine. He gave thanks to God for it. And he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread, he broke it, he gave thanks to God for it. Then he gave pieces of it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine. He said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out for you. You ever wonder why we don't celebrate Passover as Christians today? Because we have Jesus, that's a great answer. The Jewish people still celebrate Passover, and there's nothing wrong with it. But here's the best explanation I could come up with why we don't celebrate Passover. Because Passover celebrates the miracle, but communion celebrates the one who did all the miracles. Jesus is the best king in the Bible. His celebrations are the best celebrations. Nothing wrong with the other kings or the other celebrations. But let me say it again. Passover celebrates the miracle. Communion celebrates the one who did all the miracles. And so Jesus breaks bread. He gives it to him. He takes the wine. He gives it to him. He says, you don't know what this means right now, but what this is going to mean soon is that I'm going to die. My body's going to be broken. My blood's going to pour out for you. And so when you take communion, remember me. Remember what I'm about to do for you. Remember this act of worship. Pastor Bob, can you come forward? And James? We're about to take communion together as a church as we're walking through the last few days of Jesus. And just let me remind you that communion is for the believer. If you're in the room and you say, I don't know if I'm a Christian, I'm skeptical, that's fine. You can. Pastor Bob's going to be at the Fresh Start table later. He'll answer any questions. Maybe you can take communion with him one-on-one. But right now, this is for the believer, not a perfect person, but someone who believes and says, I'm going to follow Jesus. And so this is a time right now to get your heart right. And then in just a second, the cup's going to come around. There's two cups on top of each other, the bread and the juice stacked on top of each other. So we're going to take communion in just a second. Pastor Bob's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Thanks, Pastor Quinn. I think the beauty of communion time, it truly is part of our act of worship and why we come here. We only do communion once a month. But I think, and I've mentioned it before, we're starting to do it almost every day at home, and we're doing it once a week in our life group. If you haven't tried it, please do. Watch how you'll get blessed. I got testimonies all over the place of how good it is. Encouragement. Looking back at Holy Week is what Pastor Quinn was talking about. Jesus starts off Sunday getting all the applause from the people, and by Wednesday night, those in authority are looking on ways to kill him. Thursday night was the night he washed feet and instituted the Eucharist and communion. And Jesus reminds us, do this in remembrance of him. If you look at the cup, and you can take the one with the bread, and I'll have you follow me in a scripture we'll have up on the board in a minute. The Lord reminds us, this is how we demonstrate that we are one in Christ. We're all members of the same team, whether you've joined up or not. You are members of the team of Christ if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? Not only does the Lord want to bless us today, but he wants to heal us. So if you're sick and you might be here, the Lord wants to restore you. If you got a busted relationship, maybe you haven't talked to dad and mom in years, the Lord wants to heal those things. If you got the faith to believe, Jesus will respond, work the miracle. Can you believe that? Amen. I got half of you with me, and by the time it's over, we'll get all 100%. So let's say the scripture together as we hold the bread up to the Lord. Ready? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Shall we eat the bread?" And then the next scripture is we hold up the cup and together. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is a foretaste of the great supper of the Lamb that we're going to have with Jesus when we get to the other side. But you know what? In the meantime, this is real good. Because what the Lord wants to do is give us a fresh new start to become a team member, to be a servant, to do all the things that he's called every one of us to do. So as we drink the cup, believe today you are healed, you're refreshed, and you're restored. And as I prayed on one precious sister this morning, allergies have got to go. We're in this season. God will take it. You believe that? Let's drink the cup. Jesus, you are so good. And we love and thank you that you're making us one, that you're raising us up as a team member of a team that just cannot be stopped because the Lord is the Lord of it. Amen.
He took the bread, he gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which I've given for you. Do this and remember me." After supper, he took another cup of wine, and he said, "This is my new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Again, an act of worship. He serves, he's giving, and he's worshiping. One of the last things he does with all his disciples together. And then Jesus goes to a garden. He leaves with a couple of them. They go to a garden to pray. And he starts to get his heart right. He starts to prepare another act of worship, another faith step, praying. He knew what was about to happen. So he was preparing his heart for it. And sometimes later, Judas comes and he kisses Jesus and betrays him. And they take Jesus and they put him before court, and they say he was guilty of some things he didn't do. And then what's crazy to me is the very people that were worshiping him a few days earlier were now sentencing him to death, saying, "Crucify him. He's not the God we thought he was going to be. He's not the king we thought he was going to be. He didn't come with a sword and start taking people out. Like he didn't get rid of our oppressors like we thought he was going to be." Jesus came humble. Jesus came born of a virgin. He came and he taught and he served. He was different. And so they said, "Crucify him. He's not what we want. He's not what we thought he was going to be." And so they beat Jesus. They beat Jesus until his back was completely split open. They beat Jesus until he lay in a pool of his own blood and barely alive, broken, battered Jesus. He picks up this big wooden plank called the cross and he struggles it up a mountain. When he gets to the top, they nail him to this cross. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They turn it upright until Jesus suffocates and dies on the cross. But before he died, he looks out and he says these amazing words. He said, "Father, forgive them." He says, "I forgive you, for you didn't know what you were doing. I forgive you, every one of you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, no matter what's been done to you. I love you. I lived for you. I died for you. I forgive you." My son just turned 2. And when you have a birthday, it's your first kid, you want to celebrate him and give him stuff. And so I bought him a hockey net, a little knee hockey, and I bought him a plastic stick, and he scores a goal, and I said, "High five, son." And he takes the stick and he goes to high five me, and he misses completely and nails me in the face. Bam. I'm thrown to the ground, throbbing headache, eye completely shut. There's a reason I'm telling you this. because in so much pain, he's a strong kid, so much pain, right in my eye, I couldn't stop smiling. I couldn't stop smiling because I love my son. Yeah, it hurt. Yeah, I didn't like what he did, but I couldn't stop smiling. And God looks at you and he says, I didn't like what you did. I didn't like the sin. I didn't like the act, but I love you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you will do. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. I'm not going to stop smiling. He loves you. I love you, he says. I look at you like that. I don't like the thing. I don't like the act. I don't like the sin, but I love the sinner. Church, can you bow your head, close your eyes with me? Jesus died on the cross. They took him down. They put him in a cave. They rolled a stone over it, but 3 days happened. Because in 3 days, he beat sin. He beat death. He beat hell. He rose from the grave. Jesus went to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. He's the reason you're here this morning, and he's speaking to you. He's tugging on your heartstrings. He's saying, you tried life your way. Now come try it my way. He's saying, I died for you. I lived for you. And now I want you to come and live for me. Come and be a servant like I was a servant. You want peace in your life? You want patience in your life? Goodness, thankfulness, self-control? Come and try life my way. Not an easy life, but the best life, the blessed life. Come and try things my way and see what's going to happen in your life. See what I'm going to do. See at the breakthrough that's going to happen. See about the peace that you're going to have. Peace that only I can give. I love you. Doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And so if you're in this room, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, only a few leaders looking around. If that's you and you say, I've been doing life my way and I'm done. I'm tired of it. I want to start living your way, God. It starts with an act of faith, an act of boldness. On the count of three, if that's you and you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today, I want you to just slip your hand up and be bold. One, two, three. Be bold. I choose you today, Jesus. I see you. I see you. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you. I see you. I see you. Amen. Amen. Come on. Hands up all over. Hands up all over. I see you. You can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Church, will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, come into my life. I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you went to heaven. Thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for living for me. And help me to live for you now. From this day forward, I choose you. Help me to turn away from my sin and to turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Come on, church. Yeah, you could get excited for that. The Bible says when one person comes home, the angels are up in heaven throwing a party, high-fiving, having a blast, celebrating. More than one, a bunch just came home. And we're going to celebrate too. So if that's you, if you just made that commitment, I want you to meet Pastor Bob back at the Fresh Start table as soon as we're done here. He wants to give you a Bible and pray with you, maybe do communion with you, and walk through what it looks like now to be a Christian, to live different. Because it's different. It's not living the way the world lives. I got one more verse for you. I ended my sermon last week with this verse. I'm going to end this one the same way. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he rose from the grave. He hung out with his friends for 40 days. He's about to ascend to heaven, but he gives them one last thing, the Great Commission, we call it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What does Jesus ask him to do? He says, go, make, baptize, teach, know that I'm with you. Are we doing that? Some of us are, and maybe we're doing some of those things, but that's the commission to all of us. There was men and women there. He's telling all of us, I want us to go, to make, to teach, to baptize. Know that I'm with you. How do we get there? How do we get to be that person? By starting somewhere. Start serving today. Start serving those around you. Start serving in your church. Do you want to be more like Christ? Do you want to be that person? Serve. Serving is more about you connecting with God than it is the people connecting with you. Yeah, it's important for them if you serve with the kids. Yeah, it's important for the youth if you serve with the teenagers. But it's more important for you to get serving. And you know what? It's even okay if you start serving with the wrong motives. Here's what I mean. When I was in high school, I started serving. In 2008, I just got out of high school. I started serving in the youth group for the free food, pizza, and the cute girls. I kid you not, I wanted to be a youth leader because they ate free pizza and there was cute girls. That's why I started serving. That's okay if you start serving with the wrong motives, because God used that. And he got a hold on me, and he got my heartstrings. And eventually I started seeing things the way he saw things, and I started seeing people the way he saw people. And now I love Jesus, and I moved all the way across the country because God was calling me to, because the motives were wrong, but God took the heart and he made it right. And he gave me eyes like he has. And if you start serving because maybe you just need friends, that's okay. My hope is that eventually you keep serving because you love people, but if you start because you need friends, that's okay. Because we all need people. Godly people, godly believers around us. If you start serving because you just want to belong, or just, I just need something to do on Sunday, that's okay. Start serving. Try it. Just get your feet wet. See what happens. And someone told me between services, they said, Pastor Quinn, don't forget to remind the people that God's got specific things for you too. Serve where you're good at. If you like worship, sign up for worship. If you like teenagers, sign up for teens. If you like kids, sign up for kids. If you like women, sign up women's ministry. Men, men's ministry. No matter where you're at in your walk, we've got something for you. If you're brand new, just met Jesus, or you don't know Jesus, serve in the janitorial team. Serve as a greeter. We've got something for you. You've been following Jesus a long time, and I already serve. I serve in the kids' ministry. Well, why aren't you leading? I'm already leading. Well, why aren't you serving those around them? Take them out to dinner. Love on them. Go over their house. We can all do better at this. We can all serve. That's our bottom line today. Our life application is serve. One more thing I want to add. So last week we talked about faith. Serving gives feet to your faith. You've got faith. You've got the scars. Now go do something about it. Let's serve each other. Amen? Let me pray for you. Jesus, God, I'm so thankful for what you're doing in this place. I'm thankful for what you're doing in our community. I'm thankful that Pastor Michael and other senior pastors around the community are getting together and they're praying for not just their church, but they're praying for your church. I'm praying that our people are going to get connected today. They're going to start serving, not just to grow our church, but to grow your church, to grow their temple, their spirits, God. I pray that people wouldn't leave this message in this room. They would take it with them. They would go home and serve their families. They would go serve their coworkers. They would go serve their teachers and fellow students. I pray that people would be more like you in this community. And that starts with us. That starts right here. So speak to us, God. Help us to listen. And help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.